Bless the Lord, bless the Master, blessed Jesus, our Lord and our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you that we are your children. We are part of the family of God, a people that, Lord, you have gathered from all over this world. That they will come together, saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, redeemed and given eternal life in Christ Jesus, to form that one big heavenly family of our mighty God, our Yahweh, whom we believe in. And we thank you for all this that you have done for us. May that you bless this day even now, Father, as you sit at your feet and learn from you once again, even the simple thing that we have been taught, even the things that, Lord, that we have picked up all the years of our life as your people, Lord, as the children of God, that, Lord, make us to recall who we are. And as the song will be sung earlier on, who I am. And truly, Lord, that we may come to that place where God and I, each one of us to confess, might be made one. Yes, Lord, that God and I might be made one, that we'll be one with you, Father. As Christ is in you, and Christ in us, that we might walk with you, Lord, to come to that place. Father, we thank you. Bless thy word as we sit now, Lord, to understand. We ask that, Lord, you again bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Today, I want to touch on the Bible life, a simple 7 point that will mark your life as truly a child of God, one who lived the Bible life. All right, that is to say, I thank God for His grace. Let us go to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, when we talk about the Bible life, we're talking about the Christian life, your life. Even though, because we believe we are Christian, our life is dictated by the Word of God. The Word of God is our lamp, and that lights our pathway for us to walk in. And so if we cannot walk this life then of the Word of God, then we truly do not have the Bible life. So there are many Christians, as we know, they can confess Jesus Christ, but they don't have that simple life that of Christ is living in them to express and to show that we really have that testimony. So now here in this verse, this is the first point. We are looking at the first point, which would that begin your Bible life, that begin your life as a Christian. This is the beginning. As we know, even John 3:16 said about what God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So there must be a birth. And this, I think that I don't have to go over that with you, for you all know that how Christ died for you. So the beginning is to have a revelation. You as a Christian, you as a believer must have the revelation that your faith is rested upon the fact that Christ died for you. Let's go now to 2 Corinthians. We are using Bible verses to bear this out so that you can remember these 7 points. Alright, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now you know doctrines that of what Christ has done for us. We know if you go back to the book of Genesis, Abraham was the father of our faith, as we know, because he believed God, because God promised him a son, and he believed God, and God said that he would be the father of many nations, as the stars is in heaven, so are also the sands upon the seashore. That tells us that it is not just a natural born son of, given to him, as we all know, per se, like as we know it being Isaac. But because Abraham had that revelation, and because of that, he believed God, and God imputed upon him righteousness. And I said this last week, that is righteousness weaved into him. So righteousness come to us by the word of God. But the word of God must be made manifest in order to become real to us. Do you understand that? So, Jesus Christ here, as Paul said, he was made the righteousness of God, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So in him, therefore, we get righteousness. And righteousness, for us to have righteousness, is the only way that give us eternal life. I hope you understand that. Without righteousness, you know, we can never make it in. And only to obtain righteousness, it cannot be by our own flesh and blood. There's no way that we can enter into heaven by our self-righteous attitude or anything that we can do to gain salvation. So it is Christ. So this is the important thing that every one of us, and I believe every one of us, knows about it. But I want to make you to recall that everything that you know, you have learned, remember this, your beginning, the beginning of your life as a Christian, to learn to walk in the Bible way. It is Christ that imputes righteousness upon you, that give you this righteousness. Or we say that God in Christ give this righteousness in you, to you. But without him, you'll never have it. And so this revelation must always be in your heart. Alright, Galatians chapter 3. And we have verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree. Now, we also know that without the law, we cannot be judged. Because there is no law, you cannot be condemned. Well, we just like with the COVID-19 that is upon the earth today, you know, and here in Singapore, a certain law is passed, how that we must put on the mask when you are out in public, you're in a bus, in the train, and to keep your distance of the law that is passed. So, once the law is there, if you fail to comply, you can be charged. But if there's no law, if there's no problem with the Singapore, with this virus issue being upon the earth, you go out, you don't have to wear a mask. But in Japan, for example, people are very, respect with others, you know, they caution when they are having cough or some cold, they put on a mask. So where there is no law, you cannot be condemned. And because the law was given by God, it tells us who we are. And so the law condemns us, and the only way to get rid of this curse, you have to pay for it, and you have to die for it. But your death, being under judgment, does not give you eternal life. It cannot restore you back. So the only way is for someone who is sinless to take your place. And we know this is what the Bible already said. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And therefore Christ was made a curse. The innocent Lamb of God was made a curse by dying upon the tree. He was made a curse for you. And because of that, that's how righteousness therefore can be imparted upon you. So, remember this. We are under a curse when we are sinners. And we can never remove this curse until someone who is innocent, who is sinless, pay the price for us to make us righteous. To give us that's the spirit of eternal life. And Christ did that for us. Ephesians chapter 1. These three verses, and I mean 1, 2, 3, verse 4, four passages of scripture, we read, give you the first point, the beginning of your life as a believer. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 onwards. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And also, of course, at this moment, whenever you read the Bible, you must understand why Paul wrote the way he writes it. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you make us to understand that Jesus, our Lord, has a Father. And He has a God. Right? The God and the Father of our Savior. That's what Jesus was able to say, you know, to the woman that came to the sepulchre and said to them, I must go to my Father, your Father, my God, your God. I have to ascend to Him first. You see. So make us realize, you know, a lot of people still do not understand the difference between God the Father and who is Jesus Christ. Alright? So this is a revelation that when you are imparted to given eternal life, you are part of the family of God. So you've got to know your Father. And you've got to know who is the elder brother and who Jesus is and what he had done for you. And the Bible tells us very clearly that He is the firstborn among many brethren. So He is our brother, and our Lord, and our Savior, and our God, because God is in Him. And He said, I, my Father, are one. Alright? Who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Everything revolves around your life is all in Christ. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, before Him in love. So we are predestinated. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. I think this few four verses already tells us a whole lot of things. What God had done for us. Right? And our position in Christ. But look at the next verse here. Wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. And what God granted to us. So when you look at the word in all wisdom and prudence, so You know, what is prudence? You know, sometimes you see in the Bible the word prudence is translated even to wisdom. So wisdom and wisdom sounds a bit strange. In all wisdom and prudence, prudence is understanding. And understand the ability to take the right action. An insight into what is right. And you take action. You must have that understanding. You must have that ability to understand. So God is giving us all wisdom, giving us His word. Now, you know one thing? The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Right. So you... Well, but when you fear God, you must say, fear God, you have to tremble? No. Fear God has to reverence Him. And to reverence Him is to knowing His word, then that gives us the wisdom. And with the wisdom of God, God is giving that to us. He gives us the ability to understand things and take the right course of action in our life. Now, without understanding, without revelation, you don't know what to believe and what to do. And that's why we have all this confusion in the end time message in the Christian churches. You know, yesterday happened to be, well, since, you know, people most of the time now with the COVID just stay at home. Yeah, I try to, I go out and I will go out for a walk, you know, maybe once in 2 days I go out from sometime for a longer walk. But you know one thing, I was just kind of looking through the computer, looking through YouTube, and somehow there was something that triggered me to look at in the Facebook, and then what somebody was posting, and then I went to YouTube, and then from YouTube I was looking at something that I was fine, never was there before. There's a whole, you know, your YouTube, right on the right hand side, you have all this video for you to choose. I'm gonna, you know, the serpent seed, lots of them posed out, serpent seed. And I just click on some of them and just listen a bit and look at what the comment, and sometimes you have this comment at the bottom. And quite a lot of them now are putting up this doctrine of the serpent seed. And many of them should be embracing what was truth now. You know, people are not understanding what serpent seed is. You see? And of course, if you just do a Google search on serpent seed, and you'll find it, you go to Wikipedia, and find it, when you go to Wikipedia, they talk a lot of nonsense. These people, whoever write those things, I don't know, you know if they're right, and then you can contribute to write and fill up and edit whatever. And of course, there are different kinds of doctrine of serpent seed. There is one that they believe that the serpent seed are the black people. I already told you many years ago. I even have a book on that. That the serpent seed are the black people. You know, and the white people are the Adamic race. And of course, this kind of book, you know, they are written by prideful, white, supreme kind of Christian people, you know, who they are the pure tribe, and the black people, they are not. And the more that those days when I have the book, I read a lot of books, I read it just to find out what these people say and how they arrive at this. Black people, the Negro, the African being serpent seed. Wow, they give a lot of interpretation. They say, well, you know what? You see their nose are big, you know, and so that they, because they are serpent people, they are the beastly people, they are not the Adamic people. They are out there in the field, as you know, they work hard, and so like horses and cows, their big nose to breathe in, so in this hot, humid place. Oh. And you know, that's what they were. And then they said, do you know why they have frisky hair, this, what do you call frisky, right? And yeah, this curly, twin, kinky hair, yeah. Is it because, you know, out there it's just that you can see a lot of these animals, like the sheep and the goat, they have curly, woolly hair, you know, so they can trap dust and whatnot, or whatever they're trying to say. You know, and they're black because they can take the heat, the sun, and the heat. And they say, look at the skull. They are different from the Caucasian. Of course they are different from Caucasian. There is an African skull. What about the Mongoloid? The Mongoloid. And I was thinking, what about me? You know, if I have a city hair like that, and, you know, my head's, you know, different, we are all different. But you see, the idea I'm saying is that if you don't have this, you know, God give, the Bible tells us, give us wisdom and prudence. But I wonder how the Spirit around, are they, I wonder, are they really Christian? Or are they just being religious? Or being racist? Huh. Right. And then, of course, there are other things that are being mentioned. And I'll tell you one thing here right now. There is no such thing as Adamic race. Because there is only Adam. And after Adam brought forth Abel, it was already mixed. I mean, it was already tinted, right? With the sin. And 130 years later, then Adam had another son, called Seth, right? The Bible clearly said that Seth was not in the image of God. It clearly says that Seth was in the image of Adam. Why point to Adam and not point to God? Well, because of the fall. And so the serpent have that lineage, as you all know. They all have that imputed sin that God imputed upon Adam all the way down. And the seed began to mix with the Canaan. And so after the flood, what do we have today? We have today is all children, every one of us, come from Noah's three sons. You see? But the Bible in those days, before the flood, and Noah being the last, you can see the lineage of Seth. Because Abel was killed. So the name now is based on Sethic line. Yes, they have the imputed sin, though their blood is from Adam. They are never called, we don't call them Adamic. Because, you know, it's tinted. Adam was supposed to be pure, right? So, Seth, all these already have that sin imputed upon them. And that, when sin is imputed upon them, there's no righteousness. So, righteousness must be imputed upon us by faith. So, Christ has come and redeemed us. Alright, let's continue. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you, for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, again here Paul strictly mentioned it, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So now, even though God abundantly given, you know, abounding us the wisdom and prudence, here Paul is saying that we need to have the spirit of wisdom and the revelation. That's why wisdom and revelation, wisdom and prudence, the ability to understand, always go together. If you say that you have wisdom, then you must be able to understand the word of God. Alright? And how to apply those words. Now, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us word, who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Now, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So what is God's inheritance in the saints? What is Christ's inheritance in the saints? What is God's inheritance in the saints? Alright, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 to 4. Alright. Who being the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, which He hath by Himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So what is that inheritance? What was Paul's revelation here when he gave it to the, when he wrote this to the Hebrew? That Christ has obtained a very excellent name. He inherited and something glorious. He inherited a name that whereby all living creature in heaven and on earth must bow down to. And that inheritance, Paul said, it is given to us. If you do not remember, read my message on his inheritance in the saints. You see, God has given His name, He put His name in Christ. He obtained His name from God. Yahweh, I am that I am. And so because of this name, Yah, I mean, if you translate, you say, Yahweh, Wahweh, I am that I am, I'm always am there. So, there's nothing more powerful than that one being, right? He is everything. And God gave Himself to Christ. Give that name to Christ. And the Bible said, in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I am come in my Father's name. And that name is given to you and me. Is that right? Do you understand? Yes, sir. When we go into water baptism, we take His name. So, this is the inheritance. So, remember this. Your new beginning, your starting point. You become a Christian, you know who you are. You need to know who you are. You're no longer under the curse. Christ has redeemed you from the curse. And not only that, He has given you His name. Alright, let's continue with that. And what is, in verse 20, which have wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And I put all things under His feet and give Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fill all in all. And I said last week, if God bless the head of the family, and He put Christ as the head of the church, right? And He resurrected Christ, so the body, the head being resurrected, the body must be resurrected. So if Christ is our head, then we need to follow Him. Chapter 2, continue, chapter 2, verse 10. And you have He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, when in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, whom, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. That means our life, how we live in the time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and will my nature, the children of wrath, even has other, even many of this, many Christians, and even many Christians, they are still living like the world. Now, if you are truly born again, then we should have come out of that conversation in time past. Chapter 2, verse 4 now. For God, who is rich in mercy, and for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And have raised us up together and make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So don't remember that it is you. They never, you never, you and I never look for God, never seek God. It was God that seek for us, and therefore it was His grace that was given us. Alright, it is the gift of God, not a work lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before obtained that we should walk in them. As I said this before, God is still working a work in us. We are not doing a work for God. It's God is working in us. And all we have to do is to believe. Right? Remember, I said this in the disciples, what must you do to do the work of God? They want to do the work of God. Jesus said, this is the word of God. You just believe on Him whom He sent. Right? Yeah, and the denomination say, well, just believe on Jesus Christ whom God sent. They have forgotten that that verse doesn't apply to Jesus Christ alone. He said, you believe on Him whom God sent. God sent John the Baptist, you believe. God sent Jesus Christ, you believe. He sent Paul, you believe. Right? As simple as that. But the denomination narrowed it out to Jesus only. I had a talk with a few, and it just made me how on earth they are so indoctrinated by theological book. And that's what the Nigerian brother was reading, the book of Debbie and Scofield in history, and find out what they believe. And I said, because what they believe, and you think therefore is wrong, even though it's true. And I said this before in the past, if the Pope said that Lord, that there's no Savior except Jesus Christ, I can say amen, right? Correct enough. You cannot say, oh, because this is the Pope here in the past, the Pope, they've done all this terrible thing, therefore, whatever it is, it must be wrong. No. Even the devil come and tell you that Jesus Christ is Lord, you know that it's true. You see. It's not who the person is, it's the word that he confessed. Right? Yeah. And a good Christian can even confess something ridiculous. He might even say, oh, like some said, Brother Branham's healing. You know, the miracle is he is a psychic. This work is not of God. Oh my. And you know what? When they said this, the Bible, and Jesus said, you know, whatever sin you speak against me, it can be forgiven you. But when you speak against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven you. That is unpardonable sin. You call the work of God and say it is the work of the devil. Then you're in trouble. You get the point? Huh? Any sickness that be, anyone that had the miracle, whether you're Christian or not Christian, when a person got healed, it is not the work of the devil. Whether the person is Hindu or pagan or anyone who worship idols and do not believe in Lord Jesus, when they are healed by some miracle, somehow what thing happened, don't say it is the devil that did it. The devil don't do it. Alright? Because the devil cannot heal. Do you understand? The devil only could distort. Okay, let's go. Let us go to the second point. Your love is Christian, not your Christian. The next thing you have to do, you have to make a public confession. Obviously, of course. Matthew 10, 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Now you see, especially here, Jesus is talking, you know, to the Jew, and talking to the disciple mainly. It's good when the moment you are a believer, you are going to confess. I know that you are a believer, there's something you deny, you can fall into the category of what you read in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. You know, falling away from the faith. So, confession. Romans chapter 10. Now, the Bible tells with your mouth, you know, you have to have confession. Anyone who confesses me before men. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Ah, that's what I say here. If you look at this, Abraham believed God. God imputed upon him righteousness, right? God promised him a son, right? So now, at the age of 75, he came out of Haran and go down towards Canaan land. And of course he must be telling the wife, telling the whole household of servants that God is giving him a son. He must confess. Abraham did not keep quiet. No, he did not keep quiet until when he was 99. No. He confessed. He told his wife, he told her, what do you call it? The household. And that's why Eliezer knows, who was a servant, was a steward of Abraham. He knew Abraham really well. That's why even when he was asked to look for a wife for Isaac, going all the way back to his home, the homeland, to find a wife, you know, it's going to be very hard for Eliezer to look for a wife that will suit the son. If he doesn't know Abraham, the kind of person Abraham was, the integrity that he had, you know what I mean? The honesty, the life that he lived, right? So he's looking for a wife. He went out, he must look for a wife that will have the character that suits the sons also. You see, that is one of the things about it, that we as a believer, we say we believe, we are, you know, we have the righteousness of God in us, we believe that in our heart. Can we keep quiet? And you cannot say, "Brother, I want to be a secret believer like Nicodemus." Oh. Huh? Yeah, until the sun set, then I go and see Jesus guy and I talk to him. But then, after that, you don't talk to the other religious, you know, believers, you know, of the Pharisees or Sadducees. You are among them, so you don't open your mouth. Yeah. And that's why it's very important for us to confess. And yet, when you make a confession, what you believe, people are looking at your life. Huh? And later on, when you are under trial and temptation, will you retract that statement? Like today, how many people who have, a couple of them, some of them have, you know, challenged me face to face. American men, you know, those from Canada, America, I mean, they are so sure of what they believe. Not knowing, firstly, what the message is all about. And all they have is a bunch of quotes of Brother Abraham and they challenge me this and that. But what happened to these people now? They have left. They have left the message. Even one in India that I know so well, now is challenging me and fighting against Brother Branham and twisting my word here also. Yeah. It's so sad. People are not looking at the right thing. They're looking at words. But they don't see the word, as Brother Andrew P. wrote a message called Hearing Voices, or Hearing a Voice, but not the voice. And that is true. As well as, and he wrote that because what I preached years ago, you know what Jesus said? Take it how you hear and what you hear. Unless you eat my blood and unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you do not have eternal life. Destroy this temple in 3 days and raise it up, right? How do you hear? And what are you hearing? You're hearing a voice, but you're not hearing the voice, the revelation of truth. The next point is that you have to be a student of the word. You have to study. Okay, 1 Peter. Now recording this, so that we all know, we go back and strengthen ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Right? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So you are newborn, okay, you start to drink. You know, drink milk. But of course, you don't keep on drinking milk every day until you are like Brother Jonan here. He's already 30 something years old and he's still drinking milk. It'll be terrible. Right? I mean, we go and take milk, then we take some porridge. Then as you grow older, you take meat, right? And after that, you know, some people who are just, you know, have this thirst for junk food or something. Then they will go out to hamburger, beef burger and stuff like that. So you take solid food. So the same thing with the Word of God, you need to have. And now, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2 verse 15. The Bible says, of course we know this, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that did not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Acceptable to the Lord, acceptable. You know, and you don't, when it says study, it means study. Not just reading. Huh? So, that is why God wants you to have. It is the wisdom, the word it is from the word of God that wisdom comes. And then comes the revelation and understanding. Alright, so remember the word approved unto God means that you are tried. You are, you know, let me just read again. Study to show thyself approved, that says that you are yourself tried unto God, a person who has been going through a process of learning. Now, I know that there are many Christians that never studied Bible. They go to church after 20, 30 years, they still go to church with the Bible. They just read the Bible, they never really studied. How now can you ever grow? You know, you don't send a school, your children to the primary school, secondary school, he just go and listen. Yeah, the teacher said this, and he got a book in it, but he never really studied it. I know there's a lot of difference between study and reading. I can read, yeah, 1 plus 1 equals 2, okay, that's it. But do you understand why 1 plus 1 equals 2? So I was teasing Adam, you know, I said, Adam, you know, asking me, he said, Rabbi, what is 2 plus 2? I said, 2 plus 2 equals to 2 plus 2. Is that right? I mean, it's right, right? It's not wrong, huh? So whatever you ask me, I will just put equal the same as what you gave me. Because it's that. Rice equals to rice. So 2 plus 2 equals to 2 plus 2. I mean, that means I'm not learning. I'm just merely reading. I'm just looking. So you need to understand 2 plus 2 equals to 4. So you must understand how, why it equals to 4. Like all this algebra, all this, what they call geometry, sine and cosine and square and root and cube and all this, I forgot already, you know. So, you know, those are the things that you study. Like, you know, you ask me to see what MC squared equals to, don't know one thing. You know, I look at it, I just see, well, all that I see is MC squared, don't know what. But you see, I never really studied. So if I don't study it, I wouldn't know what that is, right? I only just see this. See all these figures there and things like that. And I really find it very amazed when I see documentary where, you know, this lecturer write all this strange sign here and there, all this. So wow. And it takes study. So the same thing in the Bible says you need to study. If you don't start study, you're not trying. And that's why you promote from primary 1 to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way up to secondary school. Because you pass. Otherwise you cannot pass tests. So you are not approved by God, you are not tried at all. Okay, so studying is not easy. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you that you shall be no priest to me. Seeing that you have forgotten the law of thy God, I would also forget thy children. Yeah, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I rejected you. See how strong the word of God really is? Because knowledge is valuable. Knowledge of God is invaluable, as you say, huh? Is that correct? Yeah. You see. Alright, so the next point number four. Okay, first of all, you are a believer, you're born again. That's the very first thing, the first step. You must need a confession. Now you need to study. The next thing is time in prayer. Okay, now we look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Now this is a King James Version translation, right? I like it. Pray without ceasing. But some of the modern translations, I read one place, it said, do not stop praying. I said, wow. Do not stop praying. So once you stop praying, you don't stop. So my goodness, 24 hours a day, you keep on praying. That's not right, right? Say, pray without ceasing means to pray. Alright? But don't cease from praying. As you know. And then the other thing about when you pray, does that mean to say that you have always to go on your knees and pray? Or when you're out there, you can always talk to the Lord as you walk. You can get up morning and raise your hand and praise the Lord and pray to the Lord. Right? Only when you want to petition. Do petition. Go on your knees. This is a pleading prayer. Alright. So, Psalms 55:17. These are just what the Old Testament saints did, King David. Psalms 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now the Bible starts with the evening, morning and noon. Right. Start with evening, morning, and noon. So, here we all say morning, noon, and night. Because the Jews starts their time beginning with the evening prayer. So in the morning when you get out, remember, I hope you all have this encounter in the habit just to get out in the morning, open the window just to praise the Lord. Right? Let you do that. I hope you do. Yeah, looks like some noon. You just get up, just open the window. You know, just praise the Lord. Hallelujah, just praise the Lord. Just thank the Lord for whatever is in your heart. You just want to thank Him. That's it. And at night when you go back to bed, just praise Him and thank Him for the day. In between the day, morning and night, you spend a little time praying. While you're working, you can just bow your head, just pray. Remember something in your mind about some request of prayer, you pray for that person. You see, unless you want to have a long prayer when you need something important or something important to pray, you spend longer than you take a little time off. Daniel chapter 6. And I think Daniel sets a very good example here. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and give thanks before his God as he did aforetime. That is his habit. He prayed 3 times a day. Now I know a Muslim friend of mine, who I work with, he prayed 5 times a day. I worked with him in the hospital for 24 hours. Those days he would spend 5 times a day, you know, to prayer. But the thing is this, when you pray, you should remember, it is not just chanting. You're not going to, well, you can pray 10 times a day, you know, say, brother, can I pray 10 times a day? I say, what do you pray? I pray, Heavenly Father, which I'm in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And you mumble this, seven times a day. What good does it do? You know what I mean? You see? Yeah, and I was watching a video, and here was this happened to be quite a common quote now. When any situation that seems to be uncertain, so the remark is made, you say, oh, now we enter into a Hail Mary. You know? So anytime when you have a problem, Hail Mary full of grace, you know, you start to pray because you are caught into two decisions. So you don't wait for it to go, how things will work out. So they make a remark, so now we are entering into a Hail Mary, huh? And you say, like, saying Hail Mary, you might have your answer. Something like that. So when people hear the issue, then you find that in older time, you know, Christians were taught to say the Lord's Prayer. You know what I'm saying? In any situation, Father, Father, and I, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And they just recite this. Now, this is not what Jesus tells the disciples to recite. They only people, this is how you pray. The way of prayer. First you address God, right? You praise the Lord and then you bring it down. You see. That's how it should be. And my way of praying is this, always. I have always used three letters. J-O-Y. So when you pray, praise the Lord Jesus. Jehovah. Alright? You praise Him first. Don't come to Him and say, Father, you know, I need this, I need that, and a petition. No. You come on in, you start to complain to your Father. You know how children are. You know, Adam already know how to do it. Sucker up to me, you know how is it? Even how that he sucked up to Zoe, to the mama. Mama, mama, you know. So we come to the Lord, of course we praise Him. But of course, don't be hypocrite to praise Him. When you are, I tell many Christians like that, when they are in trouble, they come to God. When they are not in trouble, they don't come to God. Right? You know, Lord, how I love you. Oh, come on. You know, every day we pray, so we thank God. But our relationship to God should be real. Not when the time when we are in need that we come to the Lord. That's not the Bible way. Not the Bible life. Praising God should be a natural thing in our life. It's over the years. You know, over the years, I realized how, you know, how much God has loved me. And, you know, how He being so patient and guide me along and all that. And that relationship, you know what I'm saying? That relationship become more and more precious and become very natural. Even when I get out of the bed, before I go to the window open, I get up there, I sit there and just breathe in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bless you. You know, just to wait for me to, you know, to get up so that I stabilize my what do you call blood pressure, not to be suddenly get up, you know, being old, and go to the window, open up, and you praise the Lord. So this should be a natural relationship, not something that, you know, when you're in need. Alright, so we, J, Jehovah God, Jesus, and then O means about others. You pray concerning others. Then Y is you. Last thing, you put yourself last. Now I said this, if a church is a family, the body of Christ is a family. Don't always put yourself first. My family, I said this many times. Denomination will tell you, charity begins at home. Which home? Not the home of God. It's my own home. The Gunn's home, the Tan's home, the Lim's home, the Jackson's home, the Smith's home. You see, you talk about the physical. Yeah, of course, when you are home with the children, whatever is in the home is in the home. But when you are outside with the rest of the church, when there is, as the Bible says, if one member suffered, all suffered. Right? It means you say, oh, well, he is not my family, you know. We have a gun, and that's the Lim, and that's the Smith. So, whatever happened there, I don't feel it. Hey, you don't feel it. You should be able to feel that they are part of the body of Christ, the family of God. Amen. Alright. Go to James 1. So when you come to prayer, what other do you pray about? Besides, you know, you pray for, praise the Lord, and then pray for others, and then for yourself. What for yourself, what do you pray for? James chapter 1, verse 3. Verse 5, sorry. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give to all men liberally, and upbraid not, and it shall be given him. Yeah, I think the most important thing is that wisdom is very important. And this is what God wanted to give to you. Because in all wisdom, in his wisdom, he'll give you prudence, huh? To understand the word. The ability to understand his word. Because wisdom is of God. Because the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, how did God frame the heaven by his wisdom? And wisdom is personified as the Christ. Because God revealed himself in Jesus. His anointing flow out from him. The Christ flow out from God. The wisdom of God flow out and reveal himself. Okay? And then of course you can then ask the Lord for what you need in Hebrews chapter 4:15-16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but with all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Whenever you have need, just come to the Lord. Okay? Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You cannot ask God until you first, of course, seek his kingdom. You are not seeking for your own. Right? You know, when we run the race together, we are running the race together. And as the song says, if you see a brother falling by the way, just stop and pray. Just stop and help him. Not like, well, we are running this way and now we see a brother and sister fall. Ah, let him be alone. You see? If he cannot make it, he cannot make it. Hey, what is this? You know, when the children of Israel got out of Egypt and in the night and went out, right? You know, there are a lot of old folks, weak people. And they're probably put on the bullock cart or something, right? We cannot walk. But there are not many of these bullock cart to ferry everybody. There's those who can walk a little bit walk. And they were probably, of course, being helped by those who are capable. You see, you don't leave. Oh, well, just the American army, the soldiers say, we leave no man behind. Yeah. So, if we be like that, we leave no one of our brother or sister behind. You see, we just move on. Alright. And Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Right. Everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Always remember to thank God for what he has done for you. Don't forget to thank God. Somehow we just come to the Lord, we ask him for this and that, we never really do. Alright, so prayer. A prayerful life. So the next point, number 5, is your activity as a Christian. Your life, what do you do? How do you pray? What do you do? Well, Matthew 25 and verse 19 to 30. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckoned with him. Now this is a parable of the talent. And so he that had the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliver unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more talents. His Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will give thee ruler over many things. Yeah. Over a few things you are faithful, Christ give you ruler over many things. Think about that, huh? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Here also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliver unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he that which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know you are a hard man to please, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid, and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap what I sow not, and gather where I have not strewed. Thou ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For to every one that have shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that have not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Very simple thing to understand, though. You know, at least, you know, here the parable said that the master said, if that 1 talent, if I were put in the bank, at least I come back after a year, at least I got an interest. You know, but you got buried. That means you are not wisdom that putting money in the earth and hide it, it doesn't sprout more talents out of it. It shows that this person is slothful. So, what kind of a Christian are we? Are we active or are we passive? That's the simple thing. So, the Bible is teaching us be faithful and fruitful in what we have. Right? Okay, let us go to the next thing, of course, for us to be active and fruitful, you have to have a church that is active. That's why I was sharing with this brother here, you know, locally. I said, the church you go to, does it have any outreach? You see, a church, whether a small group of 2 or 3, even as the day of Jesus, but 2 or 3 gather together, that is where Christ will be. But even as 2 or 3 together, they must be active. They must have activities. So there are churches, yeah, there are many end time message churches that don't have outreach, no mission support, nothing. Now I understand why there are those brothers and sisters overseas. You know, that because of all the things that is going on, they have to separate themselves from all that confusion, separate themselves from the mess and the brainwashing and the cultic spirit of personality cults, making Brother Bram the absolute or some other preachers. I understand they have to come out of it, and of course many of them find no place to worship, you know. And so we have quite a few that are in America, Europe, and other places. And that's the reason why I send out, you know, the information for them to give their share if they wanted to contribute to our mission outreach. And this is what we have been doing the last many, many years now. They send the money, send your contribution for mission outreach directly to the brothers and sisters, I mean the brothers and all the pastors overseas to help them. So we need to have a place where we worship and a place where truth is being taught. Not just stay home and take the tape of Brother Brand, put it into the cassette, press play, and obey. That's it. Alright? Number 6 point. Let's go on to Proverbs chapter 11. Here when we talk about Christian activity, now we talk about the giving. Now we're not talking about tithings here. That's why this brother of Nigeria is also confused because he makes some of the things. Oh, the Bible did not teach, the New Testament did not teach that you give tithes. And that is one of the problems that started way back when I was in America. I realized, why did those teachings come from? Huh? That the pastor can teach the people, you don't have to give tithes, because in the New Testament, it didn't say that you give tithes. Then the same foolish pastor, if I could see him face to face, then how come you are playing guitar and organs and piano in the church? Did the New Testament tell you that they use instruments to worship? You understand what I'm saying? Huh? You know, we have a lot of, sometimes you wonder in the Bible, call it fools. You know, fools. And in fact, some people interpret, you know, Jesus Christ talks and says that if anyone to call his father, mother, Rekha, or anyone Rekha, which most of us say fool, you cannot call the person that. It's wrong to call a person fool. Well, that's different. That's a different word, so people don't know how to interpret it. You know, the Bible, you can see the word fools in the Bible in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, you use the word foolish. If you are foolish, you must be a fool. You know? So if I cannot use the word fools, then I use the word idiots. Don't use the word idiot, don't call him imbecile. That's not good to call the person imbecile or call the person stupid. The Bible said the fool said there is no God. Right? Is it true? Yeah, the fool said there is no God. If a person is a fool, he must be stupid to say there is no God. He must be imbecile. He must be an idiot to say there is no God. It's about the same thing that means that person is empty-headed, a nitwit, a nincompoop. You see how it is, how the people would, there's no word, the word tithes is not in the New Testament. And the preacher would preach, of course the pastor can preach because the pastor is a businessman. He has investment, he has business. But he feels that God kind of pastor. So he preached, and all of the poor come to the church, he got money, he feed them. Right? You know what I'm saying? And he started the organization, a charitable organization. Feed them. Because he has the money. But it's not the work of God. Did God ask you to build a mission school? Did God ask you to start a charitable organization? A kindergarten? A child care? And that's what commercial religion is all about. Do you understand what I'm saying? But here, in the New Testament, it's all about giving. Because why? In the Old Testament, it started with Abraham. Abraham gave. Oh, it was a tithe. Of course it was a tithe because the Bible says it's a tithe. But he didn't say, Lord, now I shall command my people my children, my grandchildren, the children after me, that by this law that I give them, they must pay you 10%. This didn't happen. Abraham freely gave. It was only the law that came later on, because the people were not willing to give, then the Lord came in, you pay tithes. Do the ministry. And that's why another question came up with the brother. Oh, but again, it's not a tithe belong to the pastor. I said, that's what people say. No, it belongs to the ministry. But the pastor is in the ministry. I said, no. What is a ministry? Is the pastor come every Sunday and preach, and there is 100 or 200 people in the church, and he gets bank 20,000 every month. It goes to his bank. He drives a Mercedes Benz car, or maybe a Lamborghini. What then? Is that a ministry? A ministry is an outreach. Like my brother asking me, what do you do? To me, I take a small portion for myself. I had the money to print the books, money to travel overseas for mission work. We have website. We have, back in those days, we send out cassette. We have the ministry to go out there and support. Not the money goes into myself. No wonder in some places, even the Bible said, you know, all they do is grunting and greedy, ready around to satisfy their own lust of the flesh. So, it's very important to understand that. So, Proverbs chapter 11, 24 to 25. There is that scattered and yet increase. And there is that withholdeth more than is meant, but tend to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watered shall be watered himself. You know, here's it's just Old Testament saying, Proverbs saying. You know, when you give, the more is given to you, right? I mean, the preacher, I mean, a Pentecostal preacher, television evangelist, they like to quote what you give and it shall be given unto you. Give to who? Give to me! And they pass out all these big, I used to see them, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken's, the top of barrel, whatever they call it now, you know. So even bigger one, they use pail. And then they pass it around. Give more, the more they give, God will bless you more. And there are even some that says that, you know, if you give it to me, my ministry, this is the ministry that God bless, your child will be healed. Yeah. There is that. Some of these Pentecostals here, back then I know many of these. And even you can see it on YouTube. And if you want to give $100 and send a check to me, I will send a Bible with my name signed on it. Big deal, huh? This is how they promote their ministry. I was there back in the 60s. I read those magazines. I know I follow the ministry. I know how they operate. Oh, yes. All right. 2 Corinthians 8, 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man have, and not according to that which he have not. So you must be a willing mind. If you want to give to the Lord, don't murmur and say that it's too much, and so on and so forth. And I said this, I have testimony, I know that it's a blessing. I told you about when I went to put one CD the first time when I was there, and I was invited to call back, and I started to lay the foundation for the church, and the first thing I told them is, you must give what belongs to the Lord. You know, I challenged them. And even some came up to me and said, oh, in Grumble's own, we only earn 3,000, I give 300 pesos, that's a lot. I said, there you grumble all the time, that's only 3,000 you will always get. You'll get no more than that. But you see, when they start giving, when I came back 2 years later, they even said, thank you, brother, and the church enlarged. And the elder sister put some money, I think it was 500 pesos in my hand. Secret this. And it was an elderly lady. He said, I'm blessed, but again, I'm blessed. You see, the more you give, more will be given to you. If you withhold, you find that you are losing the money. Do you know what the problem is here? You see, in God there's always the blessing. And that's why many Africans out there, and even in India, encourage them. I said, no matter how poor you say you are, you need to preach this and tell them people to give. And God will never fail. But if we will hope, you will have problems. Because you don't believe in God in the first place. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. And verse 5 to 8. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you and make up beforehand your bounty. Whereof you had noticed before that the same night be ready, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that sow bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to has he purpose in his heart. So let him give, not gradually or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that he always having all sufficiency in all things, made abound to every good work. That's it. So don't give gradually. Give it. The more you give, give it with your heart, and the Lord will bless. The Lord know how to increase. And of course, give it systematically. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 to 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints that I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do I, do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. So that is to say that whenever, you see, this is a habit. Because in those days, of course, for example, if you get your wage every end of the month, or every week, or every fortnightly, the moment you get that, the following, you know, Sunday, or the first day of the week when you get up for fellowship, give that directly to the Lord. Don't say, Lord, I need the money, so I owe you again. You know, you want to hold the Lord. God is not a bank. So a lot of people, when you know what problem is that if we, the amount of money we earn, we cannot take off at least one tenth. Huh? But as I said, we are living under grace, not under the law. We should have one tenth plus an offering. You see, but the thing is that if you cannot take off the one tenth and give to the Lord and think that, wow, I need the money, you know what happens? Well, this thing will come upon you. Because you don't trust the Lord. And you say, oh, I need the money because I need to buy this debt, you need to. And then sooner or later, you build up a debt. The following month, you will not give. The following month, again, also, you will not give. And finally, you find a habit, you are not giving to God. You know why, I know? Because I committed that when I was in the early years, in the 60s. I didn't give to the Lord for about a year. Though, of course, I wasn't working. I still have my pocket money from my mom for school. I always sort of practice that. And yet, when I go back to church and I start working, I didn't even give. And then I found myself, you know, not only that, I find that there's no joy in me because something is missing. Because I have stolen from God, I've taken what belongs to the Lord for myself. I even got into trouble. Yeah, get into trouble, debt. Okay. Let's go now to that last and final verse. Go to the book of Philippians chapter 3. The seventh and final point of the Bible life. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be task-minded, and if anything be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal it even this to you. 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So here is to press forward. All that we have learned, just put it behind us a little bit and follow through. It's just like what we have in the book of Hebrews. The first principle of the doctrine of Christ. You have that, put it one side, and move forward. We have to press on toward the mark of the high calling. Our goal should be a full grown man, a matured man. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse just 13. Ephesians chapter 4, we know the fivefold ministry. But verse 13 says, when we push forward, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. Can we come to that stage? Can we come to that stage? We press over until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Of course, you can't have that if you do not have the fivefold ministry, if you do not know what God is doing today. Now, I want you to look at this text here. I have sent the link to you before of the video that is found on the YouTube. This was sent to me by Brother John Cheong, and then later on, and now, was just yesterday or 2 days ago, Brother Henry Goy over the other fellowship just sent the whole of the write-up and asked me whether he has sent this to me. But here is interesting. Okay, we are, for those who have not known about this, if you want to have the link on the YouTube, you can just simply type the name of this this preacher. Alright, this is a text from the YouTube video. The name of the person is Buford Doyle. The testimony of on Brother Branham. So Brother Doyle was the organist at some of Brother Branham's meeting. After the meeting in 1965, remember 1965 was the year that Brother Branham died. He was asked by Brother Branham to go for the meal with him after 1 hour of the services. Brother Burford was 19 years old at the time. Now he's a young man, right? 19 years old. At the meal, Brother Branham prophesied to him about the future move of God. Brother Burford said, "Brother Branham, you know you are only 50 years old. You got plenty of energy and you have just been hunting. If you had just had the right promotion, you could have the biggest crusade you have ever had." He looked at me, Bob, looked at me and smiled and dropped his head and said, "No, son." He said, "You see, that's not the way God planned it. That wasn't what I wanted to hear. But what do you tell William Branham? That's not what you want to hear?" He was speaking for God and I was listening to my old kind of brain. Huh? So Brother Branham knew his time is about up. And that's an interesting part of it. And then yet today a lot of people even know, you know, Brother Branham preached me anything. And this of course was not in Brother Branham's sermon. But it was, as I said many times, Brother Branham said a lot of things outside the pulpit. You know. And just like I was talking to this brother here in Singapore. I said, there are many things that Brother Branham said that you will not find in his books or on the tapes. I said, Brother Branham knew some teaching, but he never taught it. And because he never taught it, and somebody else came and teach it, he said, no, Brother Branham, don't teach it. Sir, Brother Branham, don't teach it. It is not important. You see? So that is a lot of foolishness. Alright? And I believe I've said this before, that Brother Branham wanted to teach on the tree of the serpent. He never got to teach that. He died. And he knew about the sin of Ham, but he never mentioned it in his sermon. And yet he mentioned it to Brother Jackson. And Brother Jackson did not believe him. You see, that's why, as I said this, as even Brother Branham said, what? Peter the Apostle don't need to know, he gave it to Apostle Paul. What Apostle Paul don't need to know, he gave it to Apostle John. You understand? Because Paul himself said this, we know in part, we preach in part. And here we have this foolish Branham comes around and says, Brother Branham knows everything, all mysteries are revealed. And yet when I ask a simple thing across the table, a few of them, different time, they cannot answer. I asked them, did Brother Branham reveal about the son of the sin of, I mean, the moral king? What about his teaching on, did he teach anything about Ezekiel 38, 39? No. And they couldn't answer it. And so what did they say? Never mind, I believe everything is there. Okay. That's how foolish the person, that's the very word he said from his mouth. It's all revealed. It doesn't matter, it's all revealed, it's all there. It's all there, then how come you cannot show me? You know, there's none so foolish, so blind, as he that refused to see. Do you understand? If you are a Christian, you have a Christian life, you should live the Bible life, and the Bible life detects you to have the wisdom of God and the prudence of God to move in the plan and the purpose of God for the hour that we live in. Not blindly. Alright. So now this man said here, I said, what do you mean, Brother Branham? He said, you see, God is true with me. And I almost fell off my seat. I said, what do you mean about that? You've got many years left. He said, as Bob Graham said, my season has come to a close. And he went on to explain how he had been a part of a great season of healing camp, revivals. And he mentioned all the voice of healing preachers, or many of them, and he mentioned Brother Allen, and he had been in some of my father's meetings, and he was kind to mention that had a great Holy Ghost ministry, praying for people to get the Holy Ghost. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. But Abraham said, we have been in a season. We have laid hand on people one at a time. And we saw blind eyes open and cancer disappear, the lame walk, and oh, it was wonderful. But he said, another season is coming. And this season is going to be teaching and revelation of the word of Jesus Christ. Who we are in him, and who he is in us. Got it? I said this many years ago. All the life of my ministry, I'm preaching about this. Now here, there are men who heard Brother Branham. Bring it up now. And what have these people out there to say? Have I been wrong all this while? There's a brother, John Chong, wrote to me, he said, Brother Graham, it means the position we have taken all this is correct. I said, yes. He said, this season will go for a while, and then it will come to a close. Huh? This season will go on for a while and come to a close. God is going to take every move of God that we have heard of in history, and what we witnessed and what we saw in Bible days, and put it all together in one great Holy Ghost bomb and drop it on the planet Earth. And the nation will rock and reel with the power of God like they have never seen. And the primetime news will show the dead being raised, lame created, eyes put back in hole, in eye socket, arms stretching out. Preacher wouldn't lay their hand on them like we did, for they can't. There will be so many people that no auditorium No church, no arena will hold the people and no tent. They will stand in the open field. God is going to bring the ministry of the apostle and the prophet to the forefront. They will have the mind of God and the heart of God and the voice of God. And when they speak the word, will become the words of God. They won't say what men say. They won't say what denomination say or tradition or any of that. They will speak as the oracle of God, and they won't just speak about the future. And when they speak as the oracle of God, whatever they say, God will create it. Because it will be His mind and His will and His word. And it won't be about them. It will be about Him. So, yeah, we are in that season. The apostles and the prophet at this time. A day is coming. After this is over in the church, when the bride is perfected, then comes the tongues. Then comes the last trump. And that is when we're going to see something. Miracle is going to happen. But by then, when we see the miracle, the world see the miracle, are they going to believe you? Because the world will be in a big, well, catastrophe. There will be a lot of problems that they are facing. And they will not be able to understand what's going on. You see. So let us press forward. Until we come to that unity of the faith. Until we come to the place where the bride will make herself ready as wife. Amen. So keep this principle in your mind and live the Bible life. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Blessed be thy holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that precious word of life. Father, we are in the state now that the world is in where the final, the revelation, the finale that is to be unfolded. It's just before us, Lord. And soon, Father, we know the last trump will come. And certain things will happen. And all it will take, Father, for us, the bride, is just a change. Yes, Lord. And we are waiting, Lord, for the metamorphosis of this body. From the caterpillar, Lord, we are eating your precious word. And now, Father, we are in the cocoon. We are in the cocoon. Waiting, Father. Waiting for the final trump where the caterpillar emerges out of the cocoon as a beautiful butterfly. Spread her wings and flutter off with the winds. Because she is no longer earthbound. Like the caterpillar was, Father. So we thank you, Lord. We're looking forward for that. Help your children, O Father. Help each and every one of us, Lord, who confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that we truly, Father, live the Bible life. Asking for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.